The views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Welcome to Entitled to Overcome, Exploring Solutions for Life Today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio. And now, here are your co-hosts, Dave Fleming and the Monty Man.
Sing it, Dave. Sing it.
Mike's too far away.
Traffic into me.
Well, welcome aboard, one and all, to another fight episode of Entitled to Overcome, Solutions for a Life Today with CADC Level 2, Mr. Dave Fleming. Roger McDermott is also on the phone from Huntington Beach. Are you in Huntington Beach today, Roger?
I am indeed. Until tomorrow, I'll be in Las Vegas.
Okay. You are a traveling man also.
Indeed.
Yeah, you love to drive, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm a driving man.
You are a driving man. For those who have never met Roger, Roger's our Southern California rep for Take 12 Recovery Radio, and he's been with us for a number of years and has traveled with us on many occasions, particularly to Arizona when we had venues there. And Dave Fleming, of course, is the Certified Alcohol and Drug Counselor Level 2, who gives us some really great input when it comes to solutions for life today. This week's topic is endearing. I keep trying to say endearing.
That's because you're trying to get out of saying the word.
Enduring pain. And we're going to talk about what that means and a little piece from the book, The Man Within, Daily Devotions for Men in Recovery. But before we do that, we like to do this little ditty, zippity-doo-dah. Zippity.
Get ready for the countdown. 3, 2, 1, 0.
It is now time to apply
Dave and Monty's icebreaker.
That's right.
Roger, get the broom.
Well, the icebreaker this week comes in the form of a special guest, and there he is. If you're watching on YouTube, that is Adam Rice sitting there. Wave, Adam. There he is. This is Adam is not new to Take 12 Recovery Radio. Adam came on the show a bit ago and shared his story of experience, strength, and hope. And if you'd like to hear that testimony and that story of recovery, it is in our archives on any of the podcasting platforms. Just type in Adam Rice, and you'll be able to find it. Hey, how you doing there, buddy?
No, I'm doing great. Thanks
yeah.
for having me.
So you are a traveling man as well, and you just got back from Uganda.
Yep.
Yeah, what were you doing over there?
I was over there with a team from Teen Challenge of the Pacific Northwest. We were helping Teen Challenge Uganda put up a facility in Gulu, Uganda, which is out in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Right.
There's a bad drinking problem over there where you can get a bottle of gin for about 13 cents. And 20 years ago, there was a big civil war, and so a lot of people have turned to alcohol to help cope with all of that.
Wow.
And so we spent some time over there laying foundation, breaking rock, shoveling mud to put up a building for a group of villages. About 1,000 people live in that area. And the vision from the director, Didas, is to have a community outreach there, not just for helping people recover from drugs and alcohol, but also for other sorts of services. And
sure.
To build jobs and agriculture and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And so Teen Challenge of the Pacific Northwest has sort of adopted them, and we brought over a bunch of finances as well as manpower to help them out with that.
Wow. So how many American cents for how much gin?
13 cents. It was for a fifth of gin, I believe.
13 cents for a fifth of gin, Roger. What do you think of that?
I'm glad I didn't live in Uganda.
Yeah.
Right?
My goodness.
I would have been a gin miser for sure.
Well, yeah, and Adam was telling me earlier today that huge alcohol problem in Uganda, right?
Yeah, and they're making it themselves. It's not like they're not buying Beefeaters down there. It's
right.
Homemade.
It's bathtub gin, yeah. Basically, homemade
exactly.
Stuff. Yeah. Wow. And
gut rot, is that what these called?
Gut rot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some in some of the history of like Alcoholics Anonymous, for instance, and the founders, they talk about in some of the history books, they talk about how they made gin from pine needles, literally nice. In the bathtub.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty horrible stuff. But Adam also you work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission.
Yep.
Out of where?
Kona, Hawaii.
Kona, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been to Uganda. You live in Kona, Hawaii.
Yep.
Yep. And he's sitting right here in little Albany, Oregon, visiting with us. And because he's in town, we thought we'd bring him on and he can sit in on the show. The topic is in enduring pain. You saw a lot of pain when you were on the mission field.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Poverty will do crazy stuff to people. They've been through all sorts of trauma down there. Not just the poverty, but there was a war down there. And so even to this day, nobody has big trees anywhere. They cut them all down. That way they can see.
Oh, wow.
People coming and stuff. And so that's wow. Like been a traumatic thing that they still deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the COVID thing over there? Is that?
They took COVID super seriously.
Did they?
Yeah. The whole country like shut down. And just until recently, it was all shut. And so,
oops. They were.
I got the broom.
Trying to shut down the show.
Yeah,
I think it was God intervening.
Yeah, there. And so down there, you know, they don't have any margin, right? If they can't go to work, if they can't go shopping,
right?
They don't have anything. You know, they're living day by day down there, and so it was a big problem.
Wow.
And so even more people turn to drugs now.
Right. Gee. So I'm assuming if you can't afford to eat, you can't afford to drink, so you're gonna commit crimes, I suppose.
Yeah.
To be able to find the finances to.
Yeah. Crime is a big thing down there.
Yeah.
There's barbed wire, and when you can't afford barbed wire, people are putting mortar down and broken bottles into it around the tops of the fences.
Oh, wow.
So there's just a bunch of jagged glass instead of barbed wire.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, yeah, crime is a big thing down there.
Yeesh.
All the buildings locked up. The people who can't lock things up don't have anything worth stealing, really.
Right.
And then they were building a well down there at the Teen Challenge, but they can't install it yet because they need someone living on the property. Otherwise, someone's going to come and dismantle the well and steal it all.
My goodness sakes. Yeah. Well, bless your heart for doing the work that you did there and for the ministry.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Of Adult and Teen Challenge to going in there and helping those folks. Yeah, that's powerful stuff. Well, thanks for sitting in on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
It sure is good to see you, man. Yeah, we've known each other for a while, and I told him, Dave, I said, I missed your face, brother. So it's good to see you, and I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you.
I mean, when I first met you, you know, you weren't in the best of conditions. You were coming into recovery, and you went through a process of a long process, and you are a success story. You are a man who has recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, and who we believe here at Take 12 Radio is the God who is God. And so we're so thankful for him for that. Dave, it's good to see him, huh?
Good to be seen.
Yeah, yeah. And Dave Fleming is and I and all of us sitting here together are going to talk about enduring pain when we come back. So don't go away. Check this out.
Papa loves mambo.
Papa loves mambo.
Mama loves mambo.
Mama loves mambo.
Don't play the rumba and don't play the samba. Papa loves mambo tonight.
As folks in recovery, do you ever feel like your circumstances are controlling the way you act, think, and feel? I mean, why can't other people just behave and grow up? If everyone would just look at life the way we do, all would be well, right? Yes, we have all felt this way a time or two, but what if this is a common issue? I mean, what if you're constantly being let down by others and you seem to get knocked off your emotional balance beam time and time again? Well, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, the brand new book by popular recovery author Dr. Alan Berger, will help you get unstuck from the emotional dependency that we can all fall into while working our recovery programs. In this book, you will learn the therapeutic value of self-awareness and recover your true self as you experience emotional sobriety. For an autographed copy of 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, visit www.abphd.com. This book is also available on Amazon. Feeling stuck in your recovery? Why not get unstuck today with 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety?
And now, back to more Solutions for Life Today with Dave Fleming and the Monty Man.
Well, welcome back to the show.
It's funny, you got two songs, like 80s movies and TV shows.
Yeah, Perry Como, Papa Loves, whatever that was. And let's see.
That first one was they used in Beetlejuice. And the second one was Greatest American Hero.
Yeah. The guy's flying around. He can't keep his balance.
Right.
He falls in the
buildings. Reminds me of the cartoon George of the Jungle.
Yeah, right. Remember? When he's flying into
the
trees.
George of the Jungle.
Oh, my
Watch
goodness.
Watch out for that.
Tree. enduring pain. Is pain endearing? Maybe.
Suffering through?
When
is that a better way to say it?
Look back through it. Yeah, enduring it. You know, the scripture verse used in the book, The Man Within, Daily Devotions for Men in Recovery, is Psalms 27:14. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." And then it reads, "We commonly believe that we should alleviate all physical and emotional pain. As kids, we were taught that pain is unacceptable. Most of us were taken to a doctor at the first sign of illness or injury. We saw our parents lie down if they weren't feeling just right." I can identify with that.
Wow.
I lie down a lot. take a pill if they ached, or even take a drink if they were upset. One reason addictions are formed and maintained is to medicate pain. Many men attempt to anesthetize themselves through drugs. Some men accidentally get addicted to drugs as a result of work-related injuries and continue to take them in order to function or to return to work. Others become addicted to drugs or alcohol by taking a drink of alcohol or a hit of marijuana after work to relax. In the Middle Ages, men did not have pills or drugs for every little pain. Enduring pain, well, it was a virtue and a sign of strength. Maybe we can find the real men inside of us as we face our own pains of life. Don't let your body rule your mind. What do you think about that, Dave? I mean, are we living in a world that says, man, just don't want to... You don't want to feel any pain, man. Here's a pill. I mean, you as a CADC, you've that's the kind of folks you work with.
Well, I mean, I think that fits all of us. You know, at one point or another,
we're reaching for the Tylenol at the very least, right?
Medicate. I mean, that's how most of us, or a good portion of us, got addicted, is because we're self-medicating.
Yeah.
You know. Usually it's experimenting. Mm-hmm. Starting out, I don't know, for me, I was at 12, starting out with alcohol. It was just goofing around with my friend. We drank some of his dad's apricot brandy, nastiest stuff ever.
Ugh.
Speaking about making your own hooch. And then just over the years, you know, that was in, you know, elementary school and the high school, and it would just, you know, progress from to alcohol and, you know,
right,
meth and cocaine and mushrooms and, you know, whatever was going around at the time. It was like kind of just trying things as part of, I don't know, I guess you would consider peer pressure,
mm-hmm,
right, back in the day. And then we find something that actually works or what makes us feel better, or feel quote unquote normal.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell normal is.
Right.
And so we just kind of go off from that. You know, a lot of people get into alcohol, right? And then if you go the other side of that with drugs, right, the people get into opiates, and it's usually starts with a medical issue, right, or a injury, car
much
accident,
of the time, yeah, right?
Or talking to people that have gone through those things, right? Here, take one of these, right? We share medication with our friends and family sometimes. Here, try one of these. You know, this will help with your pain, right? And then the person, whatever their issue is, well, I just forget about everything, right? Everything's, I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
Right? And so now, yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, maybe this will work with my emotional or my trauma,
yeah,
pain, right? And so when I start taking, you know, heroin, or, you know, what's going around now are they call them blues.
Yep.
They're supposed to be, you know, counterfeit oxys or whatever, but basically they're all they are is they've got, it's methamphetamines, typically it's cocaine or MDMA and fentanyl.
And fentanyl, yeah. Yeah, and people are dying right and left, especially, yep, people that have they haven't been taking them before. And so some of the guys that have come into to the Adult and Teen Challenge program, they have built a tolerance, and so they're able to take people. But the average Joe just took one. He's a dead man.
Well, and you don't even know. There's no, there's no warning label, right?
No.
Actually, I've looked at some of the notices that have gone out. The fake pills,
mm-hmm,
look more like real pills than the real pills look like fake pills, because the lettering on them,
yeah,
oftentimes isn't perfect on the real ones.
Right.
But on the fake ones, it is, you know. And so, yeah, it's like, well, when people are looking at it, they go, oh, this looks real, because, sure, it's, you know, it's pretty,
you know, my father-in-law, we used to joke about this, but he was a pastor, and they lived in Kansas and Missouri and that. And he was one of these guys. I mean, if you sliced open your hand with a box cutter down to the bone, you dealt with it with duct tape, man.
Yeah.
You just wrap duct tape around the thing. We're not spending the money or the time to go to the hospital. Are you crazy?
I've done that myself. Remember I told you about when I sliced the artery in my leg?
Right.
I just kind of sat down on the floor very calmly, and I told my wife, I said, get me some, you know, a towel and some duct tape.
Yeah.
She's all, what happened? I sliced my artery. She's like, what? I'm freaking out, running out of the house.
Super glue. People have used super glue.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Now, I'm not saying that's wise. I'm not advocating for that.
Well, that's kind of what they give you when, I mean, for some cuts in the hospital.
They do. It's kind of like that, derivative, yeah, of that. And I'm not suggesting that if you get a major laceration that you just wrap yourself up in duct tape. But what I am saying is something has happened. There's been a disconnect, right? I mean, we are so easy to go, if we're talking about it in the recovery community, the term, the easier, softer way, right? So we don't want to face our issues. We don't want to walk through the traumas of our lives to get well. We want to use that word I can't pronounce right, anesthetize ourselves. Hey, I said it.
Medicate.
Right, medicate. I mean, that's one of the reasons you used, right, Adam?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bunch of, you know, we've been sold or told a bunch of
baloney. Yeah.
Bunch of bad goods, right?
Because, right,
I mean, if I play, you know, if I come at it from the other perspective, why would I want to have to deal with the pain?
When you don't have to.
When I don't have to.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
If I got,
that sounds logical.
Bone on bone pain in my knee, mm-hmm, and they won't give me a knee replacement, So I'm just supposed to suck it up and deal with the
So
pain?
You're going to find a way to deal with it.
So, I mean, I might deal with it different than other people, but
right.
most people are going to say, why would I deal with that pain like that if I don't have to?
Yeah.
But then you get on the other side of that, right? There's that movie that came out, Dope Sick.
Right.
It addresses the very topic. It's like, but the problem is now it's like, if they put you on some kind of medication, then they're looking at like minimizing it and then eliminating it altogether. So now they've got you like hooked on these pain meds,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you've become dependent on them, right?
Right.
Not necessarily hooked, because I believe that, you know, we can use the same kind of toughness that we dealt with the pain for while before you're on the opiates to get off the opiates.
So
the opiates aren't going to kill you if you stop using them.
You're just going to feel like you're going to die, but you're not going to
die. But right. But I mean, there's other, I mean, so your back out, you know, there's some pain that you might.
You can become chemically dependent. That does not mean you're going to be, you're an addict. That just means you're chemically dependent. My one son had some knee issues and they gave him hydrocodone, which is on the low end of the spectrum. You know, Vicodin, but just after a week of taking just a few of those, he felt the uncomfortableness of minor withdrawal from just stopping taking those in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, ugh, this is a horrible feeling, which isn't even comparable to what some of us have experienced.
Yeah, I mean, they give you you know, a few days worth, 20 pills or whatever, which
right.
isn't enough to do really anything, but... The problem is that we're talking about some of these people not so long ago that were given, you know, hundreds of pills.
Hundreds.
With multiple refills.
Yep.
And insurance is paying for them. So, you know, I mean, I even have some people tell me that they just sell their medication.
Yeah.
And then they go buy cheaper stuff on the street.
I'll never forget a doctor who was sitting in for my doctor who was on vacation. Gave me a prescription for 100 Vicodin, and then on the label it said, take as needed. And I thought, yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Roger, what do you think, man? Have we gone backwards? Are we not putting up with some of the hardships that actually cause us to grow in life?
I think that's the overall principle presented, you know, today, is that, you know, you don't have to endure anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's funny that they describe it as the easier, softer way, but us who come through recovery from addiction, it's like, yeah, it's not really the easier, softer way.
Right.
You know, I remember my first year of sobriety, I had double hernia surgery, and I was prescribed a bottle of, I don't know if it was oxycodone or if it was Vicodin, I don't remember what it was, but there was a ton of pills in there. And the doc said, basically, take one as needed every 4 hours for pain. And if you need more, take another one. And I just had no interest in doing anything but killing the pain. I took it literally to get rid of the pain. And if I didn't need a second one, I had taken it. I took it as prescribed. I had half of that prescription or more left at the end of my recovery, 2 or 3 days or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just flushed them down the toilet. I just
what?
Had no interest. Yeah, no, exactly.
So you're the one.
No
you're
interest.
The guy.
I flushed them down the toilet, you know, it's like, and I thought back, well, why didn't I sell them? But I had no interest in doing any of that. Like, I was beyond that didn't even ring true to me as a possibility. It just didn't. I had no interest in altering, you know, my state of mind. All I wanted to do was not be in pain.
You know, you're one of those guys that I would, you know, I'd be sitting at a rest stop somewhere detoxing and just miserable with no money. And I would be thinking, somewhere out there, someone's got drugs that they don't want or need. And they're just sitting there. And you were one of them.
Yeah, but they weren't sitting there for long. They went right down the toilet.
Yeah.
My complaint on that specific thing was that you're contaminating the water supply.
Oh, the poor fishies.
Of course, right. I was. Yeah, I was hoping I could drink it later.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we've talked a little bit about physical pain and avoiding that, but like Dave alluded to this, the traumatic experiences we have, I mean, going through the emotional pain in order to get to the other side, I mean, if we bounce off James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, there is a very good reason for trials and tribulations. They're actually, in many cases, God directed. It reads, consider it all joy. I always laugh at that one. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever, right?
Oh, I hadn't considered that one. Yeah, oh, yeah, there we
consider
go.
Consider it all joy, when you encounter various trials, all sorts of ones. So that'd be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Knowing that the testing of your faith, okay, so God will never tempt you, but he will test you. That the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What I love about this is builds on itself. There's a payoff here. So we have to be tested. That's what produces endurance. Endurance, right, results in becoming complete, and becoming complete results in lacking in nothing. So if we want to be lacking in the good things of God, and we go this and we go backwards with this, you know, there is a perfection of the trials that we go through. There has to be trials to go through. You know, I've often told guys that I work with, how do you deal with difficult people? Be in the middle of difficult people. How do you deal with difficult circumstances? Be in the middle of difficult circumstances. That's how we learn. And I cannot express how many people I talk to on a weekly basis that want to go every direction around the pain instead of through it and dealing with it. They're just not interested. And if it gets too uncomfortable, not for them. And yet, well, there's never any solution.
That's because most people, even people in recovery, don't know how to deal with proper communication, right? And that's where it all starts from. Even being in the middle of somebody or something that's problematic or, you know, is troubling, mm-hmm. you have to know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't know how to communicate, then being in the middle of that, it can be overwhelming and can actually push you in the opposite direction that you're intending to. So we need to give people some tools. It was actually funny that you talked about joy. I posted something, this is probably, what, May 9th? Gratitude is the key to enlightenment.
Ah.
Right? If you're looking at it from the perspective of joy.
Right.
That's the same kind of thing, right? We're being grateful for whatever it is that's being put in our path, so we can deal with it. We become stronger as we come through it. Then we kind of, you know, we become smarter, or we, you know, that's where the enlightenment comes from. Become better human beings.
Zig Ziglar said, "It's your attitude, not your aptitude, that'll determine your altitude." So it's not how smart you are, but it's your attitude. So gratitude right there, it speaks a lot towards that, right?
So what's the altitude? What does that mean? So what's the altitude you're trying to get to with that saying?
Yeah, for me, my altitude, I'm looking for a level of serenity, not happiness, because happiness is based on my happenings, and it's always based on what's going on around me, and I don't want to live my life that way, because what's going on around me oftentimes is not pleasant, right? So I want to be able to have serenity regardless of my circumstances. And so that's the altitude I'm looking for.
Right.
Right.
Which comes back to gratitude, right?
It comes back to gratitude. Absolutely, it does.
Being grateful for the things that you have and even the trials that you go through. Because, you know, when you're talking about all of what we're talking about, the earlier came to my mind was something that we used to think about when we were working out, right?
Yeah.
No pain, no gain.
Right.
Which kind of fits in.
It does.
Because if we don't manage the pain, we don't push through the pain, we're not going to become better or stronger or whatever. I know a lot of people that have lost people in their lives, and they're dealing with it by taking opiates,
by not dealing with it. Yeah. They're not enduring it.
They're enduring 2 years of opiate addiction rather than working through the grief and loss. And yeah. You want to tell them, look, this is, if you do this, you work through this, life will be so much better. But when they're in the middle of it or come off of it, they're thinking about the withdrawals.
Right. Not,
and then all of a sudden, all these emotions come flooding back that you've been covering up with the opiates.
Right.
Well, these things rob your ability to cope.
Right.
And so.
Ooh, how true.
Exactly.
If you start taking any sort of drug or anything to help you with pain, whether emotional, or spiritual, or physical, then that's how you're coping with it, right? But if you already have healthy coping behaviors, then you get hit with something like a surgery and you begin taking these things, I think slowly they rob your ability to cope in a regular way, because frankly, they're amazing at removing pain. Painkillers are really good at getting rid of pain.
Yeah.
That's what they're designed for. And you quickly realize that they are better at removing pain than any of your other coping behaviors. And you stick to that.
Right.
Until you, at some point, when it's just snowballed too much and the painkillers actually start producing pain.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And your body stops producing its own opiates and pain mechanisms. And it depends. And that's when you become chemically dependent. And then that's gone. And then that's where we get the problem of so many people turning to street drugs because it's so much easier to get, especially today. But
cheap,
you're not
too.
But you're not getting what you think you're getting, and now you're a dead man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
First one's always free.
Right? So this statement, in the Middle Ages, men did not have pills or drugs for every little pain. Enduring pain was a virtue. Is enduring pain a virtue?
Sounds like it, according to James.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you think about it, with even looking at it from the modern perspective, right? We're often told by even medical professionals that, you know, a body in motion stays in motion.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
So back in the day, you're working through it by doing physical activity. So I think a lot of that back in the day, that's how they dealt with it, by actually doing it, doing whatever activity that they had to do on a daily basis. We got to go plow the field. We got to go pick the, whatever. We got to, we're active. We're doing something. And so we're not thinking about it as much. And because we're moving, we're actually lubricating those areas where now we just take, we're just given a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go lay down and take a pill and,
right,
right.
So hey, Roger, let me ask you this, and I know you're kind of a health guy. You take your Herbalife. I mean, I've been on trips with you. I see your packets of vitamins. I know that you take care of yourself in many ways other than just taking supplements. But have you ever felt ill, but you went to work anyway, and by the time you got halfway through the day, you weren't sick anymore?
Wait, say that again. Have I ever felt ill?
Have you ever felt ill, but you went to work anyway, and then halfway through the day, you just weren't sick anymore?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you may have a headache, or you may have an upset stomach or whatever. That doesn't stop me from doing what I got to do for the day. And typically, when you get in motion, hopefully you've done devotions and some prayer, but you get in motion and, some of those things just go away. I never think of painkillers as a solution. Mm-hmm. And I also know that in the context of, carrying a message, either in recovery or in our Christian communities, I can't share anything with anybody or come alongside someone who's going through something if I haven't walked through something similar.
Sure.
I have nothing to share with them. And the only way to have experience and strength and hope is to walk through pain, and whether it be emotional, physical, whatever it might be. And I love James. I mean, those verses, it's to me, it's all process with a big payoff. But if you never do the process, you never get to the payoff.
You never get to the payoff.
And I think we are all about shortcuts. I mean, I was about shortcuts my whole life. I never wanted to do anything. I just wanted to get to the end of what I thought was, you know, the result I needed and wanted. So I wasn't about process. But, I like process now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we've all been through traumatic times. We've all been through painful times. Adam, I watched you for well over a year go through some horrendous experiences.
What are you talking about? That was not painful at all.
and you could have cut and run on several occasions and probably felt like it few times, right? But you pressed in and you did endure, and the payoff was actually amazing.
A lot of that was due to James. Actually, at the time, the month that I received divorce papers, I was in the middle of a Bible study through James.
Mm.
And it was excellent timing from the Lord.
Yeah.
So I was reading through James chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
There's only five, right? Yeah, I think there's only five. In the midst of all that, and I had come to a point in my recovery before all this hit me, where I had just really committed to seeing everything that was brought into my life as divine intervention, whether it was something that you spoke to me or something that I learned in class or heard in a sermon or on a worship song. I took it all as divine intervention intentionally. I went out of my way to take it on faith. This is from the Lord. This is for me. I'm supposed to take it seriously. And so during this time, I'm reading through James, and I just bit down and took it all super seriously. I said, all right, this is how I gain endurance. This is how I gain perfection by dealing with this trial. Then so be it. Your will be done, Lord.
Yeah.
And that's actually that moment in time is when I gained confidence in myself and my recovery and recognized that I had turned a corner, because right then during the worst of it, I did have a choice. I could leave. I could, or, you know, even less than leaving and getting drunk. That's an option. But even less so than that, I could just be really nasty and bitter about it, right? I could just walk around being evil.
White-knuckling it, do your program.
I could have done that.
Yeah.
But instead what I did is I fasted for 3 days.
Mm.
And looking back on it now, I see that that was a turning point. That's when I realized that I had learned how to change my coping behaviors. Instead of removing pain, I just pressed into the Lord and I cast my anxieties on him and I trusted him with them. You know, that's part of it, is casting your anxieties on the Lord. Isn't just like, here you go. It's actually trusting God with what crap you're going through. And I trusted that whatever it was that I was going through, he had a plan through it and for it.
Yeah. 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 And wow. And what a powerful story you have. Dave, you've been through the ringer. Gosh, you moved out here from Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
And
totally on faith.
On faith and some signs God gave you. And
yeah,
you know,
like literally like a truckload of like, you know, signs driving in front of you going,
right,
go this way, you know?
And you've hit some walls. You've had some trials and tribulations that have been painful and hard to walk through. And you're still trucking, you know. You're enduring, and I feel sometimes I feel helpless to help some people because the ones that just give up, and I get giving up. I've given up before, and it never got me anywhere other than misery, you know. But we have a motto in our family. And that is never give up, other than giving up to the Lord.
Right.
And we keep pressing in. And I think you said it, brother. I think the pressing in, instead of trying to anesthetize the pain, press into God. If he is our solution, right? If our problem is powerlessness, then we need power. Now we have power, and we talk about this all the time, Dave, right? We have power now.
Yeah.
There is no reason not to tap into that power that's available.
Yeah.
The
thing that And me and you have talked about this before, but what happens many times is people get to a certain point where God's worked on them and helped bring them through their immediate, you know, issue,
yeah,
whether it be the addiction, right, or whatever. And then there's like nothing, or we think there's nothing, right?
Right.
And so you can sit there and you can pray and you can ask for guidance and not get anything, because sometimes the answer is no or not right now.
Yeah.
And we don't always see that.
We see that as no result.
Right. Or yeah. Or start doubting, right? Did I do something wrong, or did I not do something I was supposed to do, or did I not go somewhere where I was supposed to go? Or, you know, you start questioning, right?
Yeah.
And then if we keep pressing in, though, for me, I have this certain scripture that pops up every once in a while when I need kind of that direction, or mm-hmm. at least a confirmation, hey, you're in the right place. Just sometimes you just need to sit and bask in the perfection of what you've accomplished up to this point, and then more will be revealed.
Yeah,
right. Because when we were going through that whole part about when we were homeless at the center,
mm-hmm.
right, and when we were living in the front half of the portable, and I think I've said this talked about this a couple of times, but I was praying about, you know, like, come on, like Lord, really, like, you bring us out here. Your housing falls through. Now we got another, you know, thing available, and it's not looking good either,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so I prayed about it, and then I go over when we're having to go over to the house and use the shower. There's that little plaque. I know you had it in your office for a while. It
yeah.
said, if you can't believe all things are possible.
Yeah.
It was on that first step as you that first landing when you go up the stairs before mm-hmm. you turn left and go up. And it was like the morning after I had that prayer that I noticed that was sitting there. Now, it had been sitting there for months.
Right.
And it's the first, and probably walked by it, you know, 100 times.
Yeah.
It's the first time I actually, like, saw it.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, and that's happened to me, I don't know, half a dozen times. But it still isn't, it isn't easy sitting there waiting through all that, because sometimes it can be, you know, a few weeks, could be a few months, could be a few years, right?
Yeah.
But we got to endure and press mm-hmm. on and still help people, because you never know, like you were saying earlier, what you never know what one thing that you might do or say to help somebody that changes their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? This brings me to the point of sometimes we minimize what a person's going through by saying things like, oh, that's not a big deal. You know, right. there's a commercial on TV right now. It's a mental health commercial where the guy says, these are the things that don't help. You know, and then it gives these responses people give. Well, you know.
Just get out more.
Just get out more.
Just smile more.
Think about the problems other people have.
Don't think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't thought about that one.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Don't and then it says, things that are not helpful.
Things that are not helpful. Yeah. You'll be okay. Just hang in there. You know, stuff like that. It's like, I'm sorry, but you're like slapping me in the face. Sometimes I don't need that. Sometimes I just need you to listen and keep your mouth shut.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Or how's that work? You know, tell me how you feel.
Yeah. So, you know, to say, I mean, we've all probably had adults in our lives at some point, whether it was a teacher, an older brother, or a parent, say, although that doesn't hurt. You know, I remember catching my finger, my pointer finger, in between the tire and the fender of the bicycle that my little red wagon was attached to the back of. And my cousin's riding the bicycle pulling me, and my hand got caught up in there, right? And it cut my finger open down to the bone, and the neighbor came across and goes, oh, that's no big deal, that doesn't right. hurt. And I'm screaming bloody murder, and it took 5 stitches.
It's a shame it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't work. Yeah,
wouldn't it be great
if that worked?
Oh, you're right, that doesn't hurt, huh?
I had to It happened when I was younger, and I was coming out of my driveway on my bicycle.
Yeah.
And there was a car coming down the street, and so I had, there was like nowhere to go. My mom's truck was parked in front of our house.
Yeah.
So it was either, you know, go out into the street, hit by the car, or run into the truck.
Right.
So I ended up running into the truck, and I'm laying there on the ground, like yelling for somebody to come out. And my mom comes out, like, you know, almost, it seemed like forever. And I'm like, my arm's broken. She's like, no, it's not. It's actually bent the opposite direction.
It's not broken. That's great. The sky is blue. No, it's not.
Suck it up.
Oh, my goodness. So in Psalms 27:14, again, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Nowhere in there does it say he'll take the pain away.
Right. Well, that's something that reminded me when Dave was just talking about. I was reminded of James again. In James, it says, do not receive because you do not ask. And when you ask, you still don't receive because your motives are wicked.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of times in my life, right, I've wanted God to do for me, is I wanted to take 100 milligrams of Holy Spirit and feel better. And, yeah. And that's not, in God's wisdom, he doesn't do that for us. Because if he did, it would be nothing more than another false coping mechanism, right?
And it can be wrapped in spirituality, mm-hmm, but it's fake.
Right.
It's, yeah, kind of like, it reminds me of,
I'm healed now. I went to Teen Challenge for a year.
Right.
Right.
Because I went through a program. Everything's all better.
Because I said the words, mm-hmm, and I'm recovered.
I remember before I had my hip replacements, a bunch of well-meaning folks wanted to take me to Bethel in Redding, California to get me healed. And I, at first I was kind of excited about that. I thought, because I'd heard these stories, right? And then I stopped, or God stopped me, and it was like, you know, I'm perfectly capable of doing that right where you sit.
Right.
You don't have to take a 6-hour drive to, or go to a specific place or a healing pool or whatever. You know, we can take care of this. And I thought, you know, I'm not doing that. And I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. And God dealt with it in another way, and I got my hips replaced and got through the whole thing. But I think we chase after signs and wonders, even in the name of healthy spirituality with the Lord, in order to soothe our pain.
Well, and
to
the soothe quick our fix. Trauma. We're still the after fix. The quick fix.
Yeah.
And we want what we want now, right?
Right.
That's why we don't want to wait. And so sometimes when we're in that part of our life where we're supposed to wait, right?
Yeah.
Like, many stories in the Bible talk about people having to wait, and they don't want to wait, mm-hmm, right?
Right, right.
And same thing, right? Go to this church, get prayed over, go in this healing pool, and you're, that's the quick and easy fix versus having to endure going through, you know, surgery and recovery, yeah, and all that stuff. That could pop in our brain and go, yeah, that's easy. Let's go do that. And then if that doesn't work, then I can always go do the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes God does do that. Some God, yeah, it is an immediate thing, and it's a miraculous thing, you know?
And other times he calls us to do weird stuff, like,
yeah,
oh, well, you need to go all the way down to Israel, talk to this guy, this prophet, and then go wash yourself 7 times in the river, and all this crazy stuff,
right,
and this crazy journey. Or other times, God doesn't even have to show up, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and it happens. Yeah.
That's what happened with my addiction.
Yeah.
It was like a light switch.
Right.
Standing in the middle of the freaking detox dorm room.
Right, right.
It's like, okay, now what?
Yeah. Roger, closing thoughts.
Yes.
Closing thoughts on this enduring pain.
I view all of it, life in general today, as this wonderful adventure. And included in that adventure is enduring pain. And that old adage that we heard, at least I did a lot when I was growing up and, mm-hmm, doing sports and stuff, no pain, no gain. I thought that was the most ridiculous comment I ever heard. I think it's the most profound thing that's ever been said. I don't learn anything when everything is perfect and good. And my faith grows when I endure pain. And then it enriches my story or my testimony or my ability to help someone else who's walking through something similar. Mm. So it's not that I wish it on me, but I embrace it when it shows up, and I look to God for what to do and how to walk through it. And what's he trying to teach me? I look at it as a lesson. There's a lesson here, Lord. Teach me. I want to learn.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a cute quote that I learned recently is, there's no growth in the comfort zone, and there's no comfort in the growth zone.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's no growth in the comfort zone and no comfort in the growth zone. Mm, that's good. Is that your closing thoughts?
Sure.
Yeah, top that one, Dave.
Yeah, Dave, closing thoughts.
I don't know. My mind is just blank right now. I would just, you know, I go back to the, you know, no pain, no gain, right? That's probably the easiest, the quickest, and one people remember. But I just want to, you know, I'm not going to read this, but if anybody is so inclined, go look up the reading for the Just for Today reading for NA. It talks about the God's will for us becomes our own true will for ourselves. Basic text, page 48. And it's a great reading, so I encourage everybody. I'm just going to read the Just for Today prayer. It says, I will seek to strengthen my relationship with my higher power. I know from experience that knowledge of my higher power's will provides a sense of clarity, direction, and peace.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. Well, guys, it's been
mic drop.
Mic drop, yeah. It's been a great show. Don't forget, next week, Dr. Rob Kelly, the addiction doctor, will be on the show. And I'm sure we'll hear some very opinionated and straightforward stuff from him. And then the following week will be Mark Ibanez, now recently retired, but for 43 years, I believe, the sports director for KTVU Channel 2 in the San Francisco Bay Area. He will be on the show talking about addiction in the world of sports. And then we got lots more shows. We got Ms. Kuntz coming on talking about 15 years of dealing with bulimia and her book, A Wretch Like Me, the following month. And many, many more shows for you coming up here at Take 12 Recovery Radio. Adam, good to see you again, buddy.
Thank you.
Dave, good to see you as always. Yes, indeedy. Our closing song this week is Carly Pearce and Matthew West. It really speaks to this. Look at it's okay to say you're not okay. It really is. You know, we joke about in our recovery circles, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And what fine really stands for. Or, how you doing? I'm good. It's all good. Most people, when I hear them say it's all good, means it's totally the opposite. It's not really all good, you know. And really, people aren't going to know. You can't complain about people not reaching out if you're not going to be honest with them. And if you're going to ask somebody how they're doing, for goodness sake, if you're going to have, you know, the audacity to ask them that question, at least have enough respect to listen to them when they tell you the truth, right? Here is Matthew West and Carly Pearce with their song, Truth Be Told.
Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. No, I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fault, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told.
There's a sign on the door says come as you are, but I doubt it. Cause if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner and the scarred and the prodigals like me. Well, truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Oh, am I the only one who says I'm fine? Yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told. Can I really stand here unashamed? Truth be told.
Carly Pearson, Matthew West, Truth Be Told. So ask yourself, are you telling the truth? When people ask, how are you? When people say, listen, how you doing? Are you telling them the truth? Are you opening up? Are you sharing your pain? It's okay to do so. And those of you who ask the question, hey, how you doing? Please don't ask it unless you're interested in listening. Because people, they need people. We need each other to help us endure pain. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with Dave Fleming and the entire Take 12 Recovery Radio family, all of us, all the co-hosts, all those who sponsor us, and you, the listeners, reminding you, because of God's great grace and love, you are entitled to overcome.
I'm entitled to overcome.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Hey, I know you thought the show was over, and it is for now, but listen, I want to remind you that we have a plethora of other recovery topics and informational shows to benefit you and your recovery and your walk through your 12-step journey and your journey in developing a relationship with God as you understand Him, as you put these principles into practice. You can visit our main website at take12radio.com. And there you will find just a ton of archives of recovery-focused shows, also recovery workshops and recovery music, some of the best collection of the greatest recovery songs of all time, all located at Take 12 Recovery Radio. Where? Take12Radio.com. on your internet dial. Subscribe for fun and for free on any of the podcasting platforms listed there, are the ones that you'd like to choose to listen to by searching for Take 12 Recovery Radio. See you next time.